this computer. Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to our 34 new things to say at the Seder. I've been giving this shiur every year for the last 13 years. Mirtz Hashem, it should continue for many more years, and all of us should be able to join for many more years. Okay, admit. So the Zoom, I'll be a little distracted slightly only because Zoom has this new admit feature to stop people from Zoom bombing the classes this year. Sort of like the Zoom bombing feature. You never know what you're going to get in this year. Keeps people awake. Anyways, all right, 34 new things to say at the Seder. These are all new ideas, fresh ideas. There's so much content out there that's being produced, a lot of wonderful stuff. So let's go. Remember, there's a little bit of something for everybody. And therefore, if the first style is not for you, the second one is the third. Some people like Pilpul, some people like Machshava, some people like all different things, humorous, gematria, whatever it is, we'll try to mix it up and give you a lot of different options. So the first idea comes to us from someone who I think is in the room. I see him in the room, Rav Elchanan Shaff, one of the big Magidei Shir in Los Angeles, had a beautiful idea he posted on. I saw it, he sent me as a WhatsApp. So the idea is as follows. He says like this, that he says in Hebrew, Amnam Shiyesh Lo Et Hargashim HaChazakim Shel Ava V'Tshuka Mikol Makom Tzarech L'Gadrim U'Lishtamesh Behem V'Tzur Nechona Kamuvan. Okay, backdrop. Here we go. Why is it called Seder? Number one, why is this called a Seder? Okay, let's understand why it's called a Seder. So he says that in general, when a person who has these strong feelings of love, a person is filled with emotion, he needs to concretize and define them and put them in a certain understandable structure, right? Because why? And we say, Pesach hu keneged Avram Avinu. Avram's the Mida, right? The famous tour. Or Chaim says that the Pesach correlates to Avram. Avram was known for Ava, love, and Chesed. And we know at the same time, though, Ava mekalkelas tashura. Love gone awry. Love without structure. Love without order can mess up a lot of things. Many famous people throughout history have been thrown aside and have, you know, followed a crazy path all because of love. Someone did a study. I forgot the study. There was a study. I think every study, by the way, you know, the study states out of Rutgers. The study out of Rutgers that happened a few years ago. But anyways, we had someone get interviewed. Here's what it was. Yes, the study was as follows: that you could tell how a person changes when there is somebody they love in the passenger seat and someone cuts them off in a parking lot. There was a study. The adrenaline kicks in. And the difference between when you're cut off and alone versus cut off while someone you love is there with you. Ahava mekalkelas ashura. So the idea here is that to concretize and put a formal structure onto the love that we're feeling in this time, that's called a seder. That's called an order. To put a definite and specific order and to give it a framework, that's why it's called Pesach Seder on this night. So shkoyach to Rabbi Shaff. I hope I did it justice to your idea. Okay, next, Rav Kluger. Rav Kluger in his Agadah Shel Pesach says a beautiful idea. Rav Kluger puts out, he's a Breslov Chassid, and he's putting out constant material. Someone gave me last year, they brought for me from New York, Avi Levy brought me two volumes, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, two volumes. He's got many more just on Pesach alone. These are incredible. So he says like this, beautiful idea. He talks a whole long essay why it's called a Haggadah and not an Amira. A Haggadah and not an Amira. But either way, it says in Shmos Perik Yotes Pasuk Gimel, Ko Tamar Lebeis Yaakov, V'tagid Lebeis Yisrael. This you should say to the congregation of Yaakov, House Yaakov, and this is what you should say to Beis Yisrael. Rashi says Beis Yaakov, Ko Tomar, right? It was given everything to them, Belush and Racha, softer language. V'tagid Lebnei Yisrael, the harsher punishments and stricture were given to the males. Tagid, meaning the Lushan of Tagid, Haggadah, is a harsher language. Haggadah then is a harsher language. I was like, it's a beautiful evening. Why is it a harsher language on this night? And furthermore, right? And furthermore, the original source for where we call it a Haggadah is V'Haggadata Lavincha B'Yamahu. That pasuk, when you should tell your child on that day, V'Haggadata Lavincha, most of the Mefarshim point out the Rishonim, it's talking about a Russia. It's the same lines as the child who is the Russia. So the whole evening is phrased around the Ben HaRasha. That's why it's called Haggadah. It's fascinating. He's the one who got the name of this book over here. So it says Rav Kluger, the question of the Rasha, Ma HaAvodah HaZos Lachem. Well, what do I got? What's this work that you guys are doing? What's this about you guys, right? He excludes himself. He took himself out of it, right? So we give it to him tough. We give him a Haggadah. If you would have been there, you wouldn't have been. But here's where the Breslov kicks in for Rav Kluger. But now that you're here, whether you like it or not, you're part of us. You're part of the family. you're included and you can't get out because now you're one of the children. We're going to keep you in no matter what. And that's the Haggadah, he says. It's called the Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach, because yes, it would have been tough for him. He had to hear it tough in the Torah, but the message is for all of us that no matter what, we're still included. It reminds me of the famous word from the Kutzker. The Kutzker says that no matter where you fall, you always fall on Hashem's lap. That's why right after the Rosh, it says, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, that wherever you are, it's Hashem's place. The whole world's Hashem's place. One can never stray too far away from Hashem. Then just last year, right before Pesach, they put out Rav Schechter's Haggadah. Beautiful collection of idea from Rav Herschel Schechter. And it was an incredible, incredible, great lumdus there. So I'll show you one of the pieces of lumdus, a great chiddush from Rav Schechter. He says, why aren't the four cups mentioned in the Manishtana? Right? You think Manishtana is covering all these different famous things. Why aren't the four cups mentioned in the Manishtana? All of the nights we drink one cup or whatever it is. On this night, we have four cups. So Rav Schechter points out that there are two mitzvahs related to each other on this night. There's a deraisa, and the deraisas have things patterned after in it that are derabanan. You have the Torah, and you have derabanan. The famous deraisa on Pesach night, or one of the famous deraisa Pesach night, is a person is obligated to see themselves as though they were in Egypt. Chayav adam b'chol dar v'dar, chayav liras, persons chayav to see themselves as though they were slaves in Egypt. That's very hard. It's very hard to see it, that you were slaves when we're essentially free right now. But there's a rabbinic extension of that. And the Durabanan extension is, as the Rambam phrase it, Chayev Adam Laharos Atzmo. A person is obligated to demonstrate to oneself their freedom. That you don't have to imagine, you just have to demonstrate. What are acts of demonstration? There are reclining, Heseba, and there's Dalet Kosos, drinking the four cups. So says Rav Schechter, that they're essentially the same mitzvah. The reclining and the four cups of wine are the same mitzvah. They're both different ways that we demonstrate the freedom, the chayrus of that night. And therefore, Rav Schechter said, the question of the four cups of why is this night different is really covered already by the question of reclining on this night. That's already from Rav Schechter's commentary on the Haggadah. Next, I want to share with you a beautiful thought I saw. I saw this sketched on a paper. I was in a kollel a couple months ago, and I saw someone writing notes on a paper, and this is what they wrote. They said, the opening words of what they're, I don't know, whoever said this, please come forward. Okay, notes on a paper. It said, the title said, freedom everywhere. Okay, there's freedom everywhere. Chayrus is freedom. So look at this, how chayrus, freedom, is literally everywhere. Right? For example, the four cups of wine, four time kos yayin is gematria, chayrus. Three times lechem oni, poor man's bread, is chayrus. Somebody text me, I'm the one who left it at the kollel. It's funny. Three times lechem oni equals chayrus. Korban Pesach. Right? Korban Pesach, and Pesach spelled with the miloy is spelled out fully, right, is cheirus. Three matzahs, right? Three matzahs, which is the three matzahs, and the four cups are embedded in the notion of kadesh. Kadesh with the kolol means the whole world, is three times matzah. Nirtza is four times kos with the inclusive kolol. Kadesh and nirtza is three times matzah and four times kos. Lechem and yayin is Pesach. Chayrus, freedom, the numbers are fascinatingly all, they collide with each other in many different and fascinating ways. And so the numbers all come together in a very fascinating way. Next, Halach Ma'anya. This is the Haggadah of the season. I'm pulling it out. Here it is. I've spoken about this a lot. Those who've been in my shirim lately, it is the Lelever Haggadah. Beautiful. The Lelever Haggadah. What a great Haggadah this is. This is the Haggadah of the season. So first of all, I want to share with you one idea from the Lelever Haggadah. Here we go. He says like this. Now, there's many mitzvahs we know on this night, and he's really questioning what is with the Halach Ma'anya, right? Let's start with that one. Oh, there's such good stuff from him. So I'm going to turn to the Lelever Haggadah, Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya. Makshim Ha'olam. The world all wonder. They ask the following question. Makshim Ha'olam. Right? Eich modim u'mishabchem la'kadosh baruch hu al nisei Mitzrayim. How do we praise Hashem for the miracles that happened in Egypt when we're still in the middle of this akati avde achashverosh? Meaning that the freedom is not yet done yet. We're still in what's called galus. Right? And the Chasam Sofer says galus, this galus is different than galus Mitzrayim because the galus Mitzrayim, where there was so all-encompassing and you couldn't do anything about it. But we know, and here's his point, it's amazing. Yesh kama mitzvahs kalas shemekarvas a gula. We know there are many mitzvahs that are able to bring about the gula. But one mitzvah in particular is able to bring about the geula, and that is the geula of tzedakah. The geula of tzedakah, right? As the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tanei says, gedola tzedakah, shemekareves et geula, it brings the geula. Therefore, our simcha is a simcha of shlema. Why, says the Lel of a Rebbe? Because while in Mitzrayim, there was no ability to give tzedakah to anyone. Now, even though we're in a galus, we have in our hands an ability to bring geula. If not the geula for Klal Yisrael, geula for individual people, one at a time, just by being able to give to them. And he says, that's why we say halach ma'anya, right? This is the poor man's bread at the entrance of the Haggadah. Why? Because it is the hakdama for the entire Sipur Mitzrayim. And we say that kahal lach ma'anya, this was like in Golis, we ate lechemoni. So why do we praise the geula, right? Maishna hacha maishna, at the end of the day, we're still in Golis. Because now kol ditzrich yesev yevstach, now you're able to take care of people who need. Yes, this year you might not be able to invite them to your table, but you can see to it before Pesach that they have food to eat. You can see to it before Pesach that they have something that they're able to have. And that's why halach ma'anya, there's a great line in the Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Haggadah. If you look at Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Haggadah, he quotes from the book on halach ma'anya, he writes this. He quotes from the book by Primo Levi. Primo Levi says that they knew that they were free, that the war was over, the minute when the Nazis abandoned all the sick. The Nazis left quickly and abandoned all the sick. And he said, I was one of the sick people who was left there. And we finally were able to share our bread. The minute we were able to share our bread, that was the sign that we were finally free. Beforehand, you had to save whatever you had. There was not, you shared, you died, right? But now that we were able to share, it meant that we were finally free. And therefore, that's halach ma'anya. That's why we have it here. That's why kol dichvin yesev yechol. The minute you are able to share, you're able to give to others, that's the minute you know that you're able to be free. That's the minute you know you're able to give to others. That's from the beautiful Rabbi Jonathan Sacks and the Lelover Haggadah. The Bianer. Every week I get from the Bianer Rebbe, the sheets. I get the Parsha sheets from the Bianer Rebbe. I saved this one at the end of Pesach last year. I was going to use it this year. Simple and amazing. The words manishtana. What do the words manishtana mean? Manishtana is really... Ma is Meloshin Hispilus, wonderment. Wow. He says, that's how you should read it to your kids. Wow, how different this night is. Not how is this night different, or what is this night different? Rather, Ma Nishtana. Wow, how different is this night. Incredible. Ma hu Meloshin Hispilus, Shesholim Bispilus, Ma Nishtana, Leil HaSeder Mikol HaLeil Sovlikad. He says, is a lichtige Nacht, Laila kiyom ya'ir. The Zohar says the night shined like day. There's a beautiful answer, beautiful, the Sat Merav on that. Laila kiyom ya'ir, says the Sat Merav like this. We know that the rabbis were eating in Bnei Brak the whole night. Five rabbis were sitting around in Bnei Brak. How come they didn't know the students had to come in and remind them of Shema? How come they didn't know it was time for Shema? So the Divrei Yo, the Sat Merav says, because Laila kiyom ya'ir, that night shined like light. They were so confused the whole evening. They didn't know what was night. They didn't know what was day because they went mamish back into Mitzrayim. Chayav Adam Liras. They were there. When they were there, that night was like day. And therefore, they had no way of knowing what was what when it happened. Okay, so that's wonder. This amazing wonder of Biyan. He says like this. Biyikar tzarech lirot l'kayim kol mitzvah shebalayla hazeh. A person has to see to it to fulfill every mitzvah on this night and to say every word of the Haggadah with simcha and with halal and with wonderment and amazement and with joy. And that's part of the making the evening filled with wonderment itself. Okay, let's continue next. Number seven. The beautiful Haggadah they put out, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab's Haggadah. My Shabbos, a little drush I quoted on his Perish in the Torah. But here is from Schwab's Haggadah. And so many great ideas in there. He even underlines his favorite ideas for you when you buy the Sefer. They're already it comes pre-underlined. I've never seen that before. So he says like this. He doesn't like the minhag of calling it stealing the afikomen. He goes, why is it called stealing the afikomen? I don't like that. He goes, but you have to assume this idea of the younger taking the afikomen and hiding it. It's based on something very deep. It's based on something, all minhagim, even the minhagim of ketanim, have with it a very deep source. He says, for example, like even the choizik that's being made on Purim, that comes from a very deep place. So what's the depth of why you take the bigger matzah and you hide it and you put it away? So he says like this. L'chein kisha'osim yachatz, u'machalkin et ha'matzah l'shtei putzos. Therefore, when you do yachatz and you break it into two pieces, one big, one small, and you put away the big one, there's an omuk, remez omuk meo, there's a deep intimacy. What's the explanation? He said, I heard from my father, and you should say it to the children when they want to receive, to eat their afikoman, to get their prize for the afikoman. See, the small piece, the part that you see that stays at the Seder, that's the part that we always look at. We always look at the negative. We're always focusing on the what's called broken tile syndrome. We're always focusing on the harsher stuff in life. We obsess over the negativity. The positive, the things that are going right for us in our lives, the things that are working out, the brachas that we do have, the yeshuas we do have, we don't see it. It's hidden. It's covered up. And therefore, that's why it's put away. It's put away because you don't appreciate it yet. But by the end of the Seder, when you come to a level of emunah, you're going to then have it come back out. And that's when you appreciate it. I want to say based on that, he doesn't put this in. He goes, that's why the child brings it. Because often it's the children who recognize when we're always complaining, the adults are always complaining about X and Y. It's often the children who are able to see the positive. We're able to see something that we didn't even recognize was valuable or good. And the children are able to see value in something in it. And they're the ones, therefore, who take and hide that part. And ultimately, they're the ones who bring it back when we can't ourselves locate it. We can't ourselves find it. Okay, so this is Rav Schwab with a little twist in there at the end. Next, I want to share with you on Arami Ovid Avi. Arami Ovid Avi is a passage that's there in the first third of the Haggadah. It's the same passage that is said when you bring your first fruits to Yerushalayim, your Bikurim. Arami Ovid Avi. An Aramean tried to destroy my father. There's a little bit of debate among the Rishonim. Who is the Aramean that's being referred to here? Okay? Now, I saw in the Kerem HaTzvi Haggadah, by Rav Zvi Hirsch Farber was the Rav in Soho, London for 42 years. He was born in Kovno and he was a Talmud of Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. This is it, the Haggadah Shel Pesach Kerem HaTzvi, a little deer on top as well. So he says in this Haggadah, he says it has to be Lot. One of the main opinions is that it's Lot. He says it has to be Lot, right? Yaakov worked in the house of Lot all his years. Because Ovid Avi, tried to wipe out my father, is 20 in gematria. That's what Yaakov told Lavan. Zeli Esrim Shana Abidete. I worked for you for 20 years. All this time, you try to undercut me. You try to make my life difficult. The 20, Avid Avi, Arami Avid Avi. It has to be Lot, says the Kerem HaTzvi Haggadah. Much of the theme of the night, next Tvar Torah, this comes from one of my favorites, Darshanim, Rav Itcha Meyer Morgenstern, certainly one of my top three favorite Mekubolim. You ever ask yourself, who are your top three favorite Mekubolim? So Rav Itcha Meyer Morgenstern says the following idea, and he's talking about the Korban Pesach, okay? A lot of this night is about the Korban Pesach that we don't have. Many people have a minhag not to have roasted food on Pesach night because it mimics too closely the Korban Pesach. I always wondered, it's funny, sometimes we want to mimic but not be the same. We're always trying to recreate minhagim that commemorate. You want to commemorate, but you don't want to duplicate. Subtle. It's lumdish there. Talk amongst yourselves. Now, says Rav Itcha Meyer Morgenstern. Says like this. So he says, Yerachem Hashem, kishaboyim hayamim hakadoshim. We prepare ourselves these days before Yantif. And the Arizal already told us that from the 10th of Nisan, we already began the Aliyahs towards Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was this past Shabbos. You've already begun. Pesach, in a sense, has already begun for us. And therefore, it's already our time now to be mevatel the chametz, to sell it, to make it hefker, to destroy it, to get rid of it. This stuff that clouds our judgment. It's really a metaphor. The chametz is a metaphor. It's not about the crumbs. It's a metaphor. And a cold bottle of the offer legamri. And we have to be able to, willing to totally nullify it. And we have to not be interested in anything else except for nullifying. That's it. That has to be our only interest right now. Nullifying ourselves to Hashem. Again, the chametz is a metaphor. All the things that Hashem made in this world, all that, get rid of it. Meaning what he's saying like this. It's all not important except for you, your health, and the people around you. That's it. All the other stuff, whether you got the latest iPhone, whether you downloaded the new software, whatever you have, it's not important. It's not important. Hakol chozer lihios eish lihishtokek l'or ein sof. This fire of the Korban Pesach that we flame it up, that we cook it on, is supposed to represent our passions, our desires to consume everything else, and to be totally mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a total bittel, which is a kol mitzias adam ola lihiot mitzias she'eno mitzias. I love that line. I'll say it again. our entire existence overlihiot a metzias she'ena metzias, in existence that is non-existence, or instead of nothingness, no thingness. We take ourselves to a place of no thingness. That is the burning of the Korban Pesach, the removal of the physicality, as we bring ourselves before our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we become the Korban on this night. So that's the Ravitcher Meyer Morgenstern. Okay, let's bring it down to earth a little bit more now. Here, this is from the Shibole Haleket. Shibole Haleket says, why do we say Baruch HaMokom? Right? We say this special, as we're about to begin the Maggid, really the storytelling of the whole Pesach Seder, we say Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. Blessed is Hashem, blessed is He. People have some nice songs for that part. Why do we say Baruch HaMokom? Blessed is Hashem. Okay, let's turn up some volume here in case people can't hear. Baruch HaMokom. Okay, so it says like this. Baruch HaMokom means, very lumdish, this is great. He says, Baruch HaMokom, you know, whenever we have Torah, before you learn Torah in the morning, you're supposed to say special brachas that are a Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah you're supposed to say before you learn Torah. Says the Shibole Haleket, the Haggadah becomes its own set, its own Chefza of Torah. And just like when you go up to get an Aliyah, you make a bracha before somebody gets an Aliyah. So too you're making a bracha before you're getting an Aliyah to the Haggadah. It's a beautiful visual that you're supposed to imagine as you're coming to tell the story of the Haggadah, that everybody at the Seder, man, woman, child, everybody is getting an Aliyah to the Haggadah. And the preamble, the bracha that you make before getting an Aliyah to the Haggadah is that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And that's the bracha you're saying beforehand. And that's why, and that's what it's supposed to mean. And by the way, why put the whole Haggadah into Pesukim? Why wasn't it stories? Why was it all Pesukim? Says the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the Exodus from Mitzrayim was an eternal experience. It wasn't limited to one time in space. By the way, how do I know it wasn't limited to one time in space? Because we know earlier that when Lot fed the Malach in Sodom, it says he gave matzahs. You have this all over. You have these references to Pesach, even though it wasn't Pesach yet. Because you have to understand, Pesach was not something that happened one point in time. Pesach is eternal. Says the Sfas Emes, by putting our Haggadah into Pesukim, you're ensuring that the message stays eternal. Because the only words that are eternal are the Dvar Hashem, are the words of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Simple vort, it just dawned on me, on the five rabbis sitting around the Bnei Brak. They're all stuck there. I don't know. It seems to me like sort of very powerful image for what's going on now. The five of them were in quarantine. Like, why were they all there? They couldn't leave. They couldn't go anywhere. They weren't by their families. They weren't home. Something was happening. There's a lot. There's an Aruch HaShulchan there, that there was the middle of the Bar Kokhba revolt and all of that. Either way, they were stuck right there and they couldn't go anywhere. So they were, in a sense, they're the first ones who were quarantined, who were stuck together and couldn't go to the regular homes for Pesach. All right. Okay, back unmuted. Okay, so next, by the way, it ties very nicely into, my daughter Esti Einhorn points out that it ties very nicely into how this time frame, Rabbi Akiva's students, it leads all the way up to Lag BaOmer and Rabbi Akiva and the plague stopping on Lag BaOmer itself. That's a very deep thought to connect to. Now, V'taher Libenu, let's continue. The Taher Libenu Haggadah, also a new Haggadah that came out this year. So he says like this. He goes, Tami Tiesi Lama Eich Yotza Davar She Ben a Rush L'Avram Yitzchak. Why did it have to be that Avram and Yitzchak each had to have a child who's a Russia? Why do they have to have a child who's a Russia? Okay, so when everybody says, ah, that kid, that person can't be great. Look at that kid they had. Wait, Avram and Yitzchak had children who, what do you mean? Yesav and Yishmol. So why was it? Lama Dafka Abbas. Why Dafka the Holy Abbas? Betchilas Binyan Am Yisrael. Lama Ilem Lahatchilim Tsar. Why'd they have to begin with this Agmas Nefesh of a Ben Arusha? Right? And Avram had to die 5 years beforehand so not to see how bad it would get. Right? Why did he need it? V'yitachen shezeh shimesh taina tov v'lumot skusel Am Yisrael. This was a gift that they had these children. Why? So that there would always be a defense of Am Yisrael by Abba Yakar, our precious father, our merciful father. Avinu Malkeinu Rachem Naleinu, and love us who are so, are filled with failure, are filled with weakness. Understand that no one's perfect. Understand, Sha'avu Sa'uma Avram Yitzchak, they also had a Ben Arusha. Shaholudneg, who went against their way. We also messed up. If Avram, his own children could go off the derech, we can also go off the derech. We could turn to Hashem. Yeah, that's from the Tahir Libenu Haggadah. Beautiful. I saw a similar idea, by the way, while we're on it, by Rav Kluger. Rav Kluger said that's why Hashem waited for us to be on the 49th level of Tumah. Why do you wait so far, the 49th level of Tumah? Take us out earlier. Because if we got it any earlier, we would always say we got out because of some schus we have. You didn't get out because of any schus. You got out, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, because I love you and there's nothing you specifically did or couldn't do at that moment. And that's why I took you out. That's what he argues. Okay, let's continue. Then I want to go back to the Lelever Haggadah. The Lelever Haggadah talks about the famous point in Dayenu where it says, if you just would have brought us to Har Sinai but didn't give us the Torah, Dayenu. Come on, everybody says. How would that have been Dayenu? Everyone knows that wouldn't have been enough. Famous, the art scroll board of smelling like a perfume factory. When you walk out, you still smell good. Everybody knows that one, right? But the famous kasha, why in the world would that have been Dayenu if we would have given us the Torah, but you didn't bring us, but you didn't brought us to Har Sinai, but not given us the Torah. So look what he says. Lelever Haggadah. Someone in the waiting room? Okay. Kulam Tmeim. Mahayalanu ilu hekrivenu lifnei Har Sinai. What would have been if God would have taken us to Har Sinai? You're here and not given us the Torah, right? Avdil, ends of the, what was it? Lahavdil, man, getting to the theme park and you find that it's closed after going across the country. There's some bikiyas there. If you know it, put it in the chat if you know what I'm referring to, right? They get there and they don't get it. So you get to Har Sinai and you can't and you can't go in. There's no Torah there. Eizah revach hirvachnu al yidei hamida b'Har Sinai. Right? What gain do we have by going into Har Sinai? Mibli l'kabel Torah kedusha, without receiving the Holy Torah. So he says, he answers from the Al-Sheikh, b'maymid Har Sinai batla hazuha mam Yisrael. At Har Sinai, the negativity that came with us from the Chet of Egel, that was deleted. And alzeh modim benosef l'kabalat targum. And then modim benosef l'kabalat targum. And therefore, that's what have been the value. Just like on Har Sinai, the zuhama, either from the nachash akadmo, from the first snake, whatever was with us, that was able to be deleted at that point. That's what he says, Sai. Just know the Al-Sheikh already dealt with this question years ago. It's not a new question. However, there's a deeper word here. We know at Har Sinai, v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. And Rashi brings from the Mechilta, ki ish echad b'lev echad. And therefore, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we came together as ki ish echad b'lev echad, with one person, with one heart. The value of the Lelever Sfarim are not necessarily in what he puts there, but his footnotes. And in his footnotes, he says the following. He says, the Rav HaKodesh HaChidushei HaRim of Gur writes to one of his Talmidim after he got married, Einena yodea ke'eis maimet chasidim sham. I don't know if where you're going, there's going to be stronghold of chasidim to where you're going. Ve'im yesh lecha hischab rusim mehem. Ki eich shu tov hischab rusim chasidim. Ba'av sheh se'ikmoni shloi tov aynecha. Ve'chol tov ha'tzavsa lahaskish shloli kashkoch et eker. He's beautiful. Tov, that's the line. Ve'chol tov ha'tzavsa. He says, even if the chevra isn't the greatest chevra in the world where you're going to, you're getting married, I don't know where you're moving to, I don't know what the chevra's like in Cincinnati. He says, but I'm telling you right now, it's better to be with the people, to be, when you're together with others, you don't forget how good, you don't forget what's important in life. You hear how gvaldik this is for now, what's happening now, this isolation and the social distancing? We're losing this part, this vort from the Lelever Rebbe says that a person has to remember, Bechozos Tova Hatzavsa, Lahaskir Shalolish Koch the Iker, not to forget that the Chevra is the Iker being together. There's a vort from Soloveitchik, the Girsa that we have in our Haggadah says, by the Ben Harasha, Lafisha Hotzi Es Atzma Min Akal, because he took himself out of the group, the Rasha. Kofer be'ikr. He denied the ikr. Now some have the girsa lefi shahotzi es atzma min haklal v'kofer be'ikr, and he denied the principle of faith. He took himself from the klal and he denied the ikr. Rav Soloveitchik says our girsa is lefi shahotzi es atzma min haklal kofer be'ikr. There's no vav. That because he was disunified, that's the greatest kfira you could do. That's the most heretical thing you could do, is pull you out from others. In the footnote of the Lelever once again, he quotes at the marriage of Rav Yitzchak of Bian to the daughter of the Rav HaKodesh Rav Yochanan, Mem Rachma Strifka. Spell the Rachma Strifka on the side chat for extra points. He says, Ishtatfu Chamisha Mibnei HaRav HaKodesh Rav Yochanan. There were five of the sons of the Reb Yisrael of Ruzhin, who was the grandfather of the dynasty. And six of the children of the Chernobyl of Magid, spell Chernobyl. A lot of people wanted to come to the Simcha. All the big all-stars are going to be here. The whole 27 Yankees. And Be'echar Mechisve Eis B'yamim Mahim Tiru Etamayim Niskan. They wrote in that time, it's written up, he says, in one of the letters from that time, how amazing that wedding was. And in the middle of it, they wrote, Shishtatfu B'simcha Kishlo. They said there was like 30,000 people there. When they told it, Lufnei Avi Achas and Admor of Yaakov, Yaakov Asadiger, when they told the Sadiger Rebbe, it's all the same family, Bian, Husyatin, Rishon, when they told him, he says, She'ena Dover came. It can't be. Because the person who wrote that in the newspapers or wherever it was written, Shir at Minyan HaMishtatvim, he only was counting the number of people that the place could fill, that the Heichel, that the hall was able to fill. And that's how he got his number. But that's how the nations of the world look at it. But Bnei Yisrael, ki be'einav roeh chosid echad, shelo haya lomokom l'amad b'toch hashura, l'chein hichnis haregel echad b'kisuch hazeh. But by Hasidim, you put one leg in the pocket of the other person. You'll put your arm into the place of the other person. We'll make room for much more. You understand? The count that they gave was a count based on the capacity for the wedding hall. But we know that by Hasidim, everyone finds a way to be there. So many implications of the story here. Ask me offline. Okay, now, so we go to the next vort over here and all this. That was the idea. If you don't, the whole essence of receiving the Torah was the Achdus. He quotes a few more answers here, by the way, in the Lelover. He says, by the way, some want to say that even without Kabbalah Satorah, Bnei Yisrael would have been Masig the 613 just by being around the mountain. That proximity to Kedusha would have given them the knowledge, just like the Avos were able to intuit because of their proximity in their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so let's move on from there. Why Nirtza? Why, I'm skipping to the end, but I'm just jumping around. We're not done. Why Nirtza, right? Why does the Haggadah end? Every mitzvah, when it ends, you end. Why all of a sudden does this mitzvah end with a whole section of Psalms? Right, when you're done shaking the lulav, it's over. When you're done, doing a bris milah, the mitzvah's over. It's it. Everybody goes to it. Why over here, when the mitzvah's over, all of a sudden it goes into the section called Nirtza? So this was shared to me by Rav Majeski, who's a Rav in the Valley over here in Los Angeles. A beautiful shot. I shared it over in the Shabbos of Gadol Drasha, and he says this could be the answer to why there's no Sha'asa Nisim. You don't make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim in the Haggadah. Why don't you make a Sha'asa Nisim? We always make it by a miracle. So the Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, has three answers. I won't go into that now. And his answer at Majeski is because we're still in the middle of the miracle. It's not over. We're still in the process right now. We're in the middle. It's happening in real time. And because it's happening in real time, there's no closing of the mitzvah. And that's why the night doesn't just end after the Afikomen. The night continues with songs and Kol Hamar Belosaper. It's all part of that. The reason you can't say Sha'asa Nisim, because it's not over. It continues. Beautiful word. I saw somebody wrote in how you spell Rachmas Rivka. I meant in Hebrew how you spell. Okay, now, we say the Chagadya, right? In the Chagadya, we talk about the two Zuzim, right? Chagadya, the two Zuzim. The father bought the animal for two Zuz. So I saw this from Rav Gavriel Bechafer. Rav Bechafer is a big Rav in Muncie. Wrote a great Sefer on Erevin and many Sfarim on Tanakh. So he writes like this. He says, all commentaries agree that the father in the story, the father is Hashem. And what do the two zoos represent? The two zoos represent, he says, the machtzis ha-shekel, the half shekel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bought us to complete each other, right? Those are the zuzim. The zuzim are the machtzis ha-shekel, which we do the avoda, do the korban. The korban comes from the word karuv. The two zoos of declaring nase and nishma. The two halves. Those are the two zuzim. You have half the machtzis ha-shekel. I have half the machtzis ha-shekel. And together we become Klal Yisrael, right? To have faith in each other, to be able to lift each other up. That's the two zuzim in the story that the father was so interested in. I'll show you another idea, right? It says, "Ilu asa be'elohim b'lo harogis bechoreim dayinu." If you would have done this to their gods, but you wouldn't have killed their firstborns, dayinu, it would have been enough, right? We say that by the dayinu. Okay, says Rav Tzvi Kluger. He says like this: we know that one of the most difficult makos, ilu asa be'elohim. What was the Elohim, the God that it's referring to here, right? What was the God that it was referring to here? Hold on one second. What was the God that's being referred to over here that if you would hit our gods, but that would be a Dayenu. So the Hakko Elohim Shal Mitzrayim was immediately right when it says velakachas mimei hayor, when they hit the water, the Nile, right? The Nile was God. So we could explain in an inner way that besides the idea of Hashem Yisparach Nivart Mela Shalagoyim, Ba'achos Mitzrayim, Ba'achos Ninusach, see, by hitting first the water, their God, this is a beautiful point for Rav Tzvi Kluger, their God was down, the water, the river. They always look down to the ground. What could I produce? What money could I make? That will be the God. My economy, that will be the God. I look down. And in some sense, for many years, it was for all of us, the economy, what does it produce? What does it produce? That becomes the God, right? Ilu asav lahem. And therefore, b'hakos hayor, his battle kol kolchem shemitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to beat the entire koach of the Mitzrayim. Kasher hisgal le'ein kol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu borei u'manheg l'chol abrum. That Hashem showed, I am the creature of all creations. But who levado oseh, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by hitting below, it forced everyone to then ultimately look up. So if you would have hit their gods, but not the firstborns, it would have been enough. Why? Because they would have gotten there. You already forced them to begin to stop looking down and to begin turning upwards and to begin looking up. The Zohar, next part, the Zohar calls the matzah of Pesach, Nama Dimim Nusa, the bread of faith, right? Nama Dimim Nusa, the bread of faith. And it's interesting because it's always, every holiday always comes back to Emunah, seems like, right? Emunah, right? Sukkot is the Sila Dimim Nusa, the shadow of faith. Shavuos, you receive the Torah. Of course that's Emunah. It always comes back to faith. If it always comes back to faith, then what's the matzah dimnusa any different? The matzah of faith. What does faith have any different to do on Pesach? So I want to suggest the following. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says very famously in Simen Kuf Nun Dalet in Sitka Satzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, it's not enough that a person should have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you also have to believe in yourself, right? And there, Rav Tzadok HaKohen laid a famous other level of Emunah. It's not just believing in Hashem, it's also believing in yourself. And I want to add a third layer on Pesach. It's believing in Hashem, it's believing in yourself, and it's believing in each other. It's believing in the power of Klal Yisrael and what we're able to accomplish with each other. So there's three levels of faith over here, three levels of faith. And that's how the Nama Dimimnusa of Pesach is fundamentally different. The faith that we share on Pesach is not the same faith as the rest of the year. Okay, next idea. This I think is fascinating, totally different style. So we know that anyone, if you study Parshas Brachos, you know, Sefer Brachos, sorry, you know that Rashi, describes Lot's hospitality towards the Malachim in Sodom. And I mentioned this in passing before, right? It says that he prepared a banquet for them and he baked matzahs and they ate. And Rashi says it was Pesach. Right? So what does it mean? Why did Rashi reach that conclusion that it was Pesach just because he made matzahs? Why does Rashi get there? And yes, it is a medrash, but what is it truly getting at? And I saw this beautiful shir from Rav Yoel Ben Nun, who teaches at the Gush Yeshiva, that really concretized this amazing idea. He says like this. He says, I read the chapter as it was written. It's, by the way, it's Brachos Perek Yotes. And was suddenly struck by the depth of insight possessed by Rashi. When you go back and read the psukim itself, by the way, people hear midrashim and they often laugh off midrashim. You laugh it off. But the more you learn Chumash, the more you learn the text itself, the more you realize that the midrashim are very much rooted in the text. Something in the pshat is driving the medrash to go the way it did. He says in Rashi and the medrash, we're very motivated and very driven to say Pesach. Why? He has a beautiful chart here. I'll do a screen share if I have it open. Still, do I have it open? I don't have the text open here. Where would it be here? Either way, you see, for example, if you go to Brachos Perek Yotes, so it says, and Lot went out to them at the entrance and shut the door. If you go to then Shmos, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Shmos Yetzias Mitzrayim, it says, and none of you shall go out from the entrance of your house. Then again, Pasuk Yud Aleph by Brachos Yotes, and they struck the men that were at the entrance of the house. Shmos Yud Beis by Yetzias Mitzrayim. God will pass over the entrance and will not allow the destroyer, an image of the destroyer coming to the house in Sodom. Now back to Lot. And he made them a feast and baked matzahs and they ate. Now back to Shmot. And they shall eat the matzahs on that night, roasted with fire, with matzahs. They shall eat it with maror. Okay, and then now back to Lot. For we will destroy this place, for their cry has grown great, and God has sent us to destroy it. Same thing of destruction in Shmos Yud Beis. You look at Pasuk Yud Beis, look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, look at Pasuk Chav Tes, and then go back to Lo. Get up, get out of this place, for Hashem is going to destroy the city. The same words, Olevikum, is over there in Pasuk Lamed Aleph by Shmos. And then he lingered, he stayed, he's Mamea, he tarried, they brought him out. The same word is in Pasuk Lamed Tes, over there in Shmos. And God bring down upon Sodom and Amorah brimstone and fire from God out of heavens. And then go to Shmos. God sent thunder and hail, and he rained upon the hail of land. And how long? All night until the morning. How long by Mitzrayim? All night until the morning. Lot's family is saved, produces Ammon and Moab. Exodus from Egypt gives rise to Am Yisrael. So when Rashi said it was Pesach, you didn't get this out of nowhere. You mamish lay the two texts next to each other, and it's as though the story is re-experiencing itself at a later point. Okay, let's continue. This you could use, save it for the back end, right? You're going to need some new stuff for the back end of why the purpose of the second days. This is really beautiful. This is from Rav Volbi, right? The Mashkiach of Klal Yisrael. What's Rav Volbi's word here? He says like this. You know, in the second days, we read about Az Yashir. That's when it happened. The splitting of the sea. Zekeli van Veyu. This is my God and I will glorify him. The Gemara in Shabbos 133b says, Zekeli van Veyu. Abishol Omar va'an Veyu. Have domalo. Be similar to him. Just as he is compassionate and merciful, so too you are to be compassionate and merciful. Rashi says, Have domalo. Lushan anvehu, anivaho, I will make myself like Hashem, cling to his ways. Ein zedrash, this is not just a drash in the word v'anvehu, but rather this was the situation of Klal Yisrael at Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw themselves in kol yechol t'yusparach b'li mechitza. They saw what Hashem could do without a fence. Mamish begeder anivahu. They saw it. Me and God. There was no interruption anymore. While in Egypt, they were confused. There was Bilbul, Das left Mitzrayim, their Rizal says. Umiyad yosalehem esa atzmi kamoso. And therefore, meaning, what he's saying this, it says in the Az Yashir, when the Jews were splitting the sea, I'll say it simple. It says, ze keli va'anvehu. This is my God, va'anvehu. What does va'anvehu mean? So Herman Woke says, this is my God. Now glorify him, right? Va'anvehu says, ani vahu. I want to be that. They saw it so clearly. Hamemar shehikir esbora mibli shehetiv midosa et as bisbarach lo hikir. The recognition of what God can do without the rectification of your midos means you haven't recognized anything at all. It's unbelievable. That's the key line I want to share with you. Here it is. Meaning a person shehikir esabore, a person who recognizes Hashem, mibli shehetiv midosav, without wanting to change as a person, then you haven't seen Hashem. Then you don't know Hashem at all. That's what happened at the sea. They've seen God's miracles. The whole time in Egypt, they saw miracles. They heard about God. They believed. But only at the sea did they see at such a level where they said, I need to change. That's when you know you've seen Hashem. You know you've seen Hashem. Right? How do you know if you've seen God? Did it inspire me? Was I inspired? It's great. Always people walk out of davening. Did the chazan inspire me? Was it inspiring? There's only one way to know. All these things, Uman, all these things that we do of inspiration, there's only one way to know if that inspiration is authentic or not. Do you walk out afterwards saying, I have to be better. I'm going to work on my midos now. I'm going to be a better human being to other people. And if that's the case, then it means you did recognize God there. And everything else is just gravy. Okay. This is from Rav Soloveitchik. Right, it says, "V'gamat agoya shayavdu dananochi ba'achre ken yeltsa berachush gadol." Right, you will come out, and you will come out berachush gadol with great wealth. Okay, so meaning, "V'gamat agoya shayavdu dan," I will also judge the non-Jew that put you in servitude. Dan. So Rav Soloveitchik said that word "dan" is a very interesting word choice. The Hebrew equivalent of "I will judge" is "adon." Adon, I will judge. Why does the pasuk use the word "dan"? Right, "Megoya shayavdu dan anochi." So he said that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, his grandfather, suggested that God is not going to serve as an objective judge, but rather the litigant, the lawyer representing the Jewish people in their complaint against Paro. And he says that's predicated on the fact that if the Jewish nation is subjugated to suffering and oppression, Hashem is with them. Imo Anochi Bitsara. Kol Mokom Shegola Yisrael, Gola Shechina Imohem, told that wherever the Shechina goes, the Jews go, the Shechina goes with them. Imo Anochi Bitsara. So with that, says Rav Soloveitchik, based on his grandfather's type of Dan Anochi, meaning, how do you read it now? Dan Anochi means I will be with them in the court case. I'm not judging. I will be with them in the court case. No, I'm going to be in their side. Okay. So now, says Rav Soloveitchik, the grandson, it changes now the meaning of the Yatsu Baruchush Gadol. They will came out with a great treasure. It says in Parshas Bo, when Hashem approaches Moshe to activate the commitment to let them come out with stuff, Daber no be'ozne ha'am, v'yishalu ish me'es re'ehu. Right? He says to Moshe, ask gently in their ears. As Rashi says, Ein no el loshen bakasha. The word no is a special request. Please, Moshe, ask the Jewish people for this request so they can honor my commitment to Avram. Right? So I could do what I said I would do. Ba'achrei kein, yotze b'rechush gadol. So why would it be necessary to ask the Jewish people to agree to this request? Why would anybody be reluctant to collect the gold and silver? Why wouldn't they want to take it? So the request was not to ask the Egyptian neighbors. That already been done. What resulted was that those Jews who had rich neighbors emerged with enormous wealth, while those who lived close to poor Egyptian neighborhoods didn't have anything. That's Vayishalu Ish Me'es Re'ehu. Let them ask each other. The Jews who were not fortunate enough to live next to the wealthy Egyptians, they should request from the fellow Jews to be able to share. And that's why Daber Na, meaning it might be very difficult for them to part with the money they just collected. They just got it. They think that this money is there to compensate for the 210 years of servitude. Why give it to somebody else? But sharing is the essence of a free human being. That's the rechush gadol. The great treasure we got from Egypt is that a Jew shares. A person shares. Someone calls and says they don't have enough matzah. You share. Someone says they don't have enough of this and that. You share with them. That's the yatsu rechush gadol that came out of Mitzrayim. Ties into what we said at the beginning with the kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol. Person always hungry, come and eat. Oh, hungry, come and eat. Okay, next. We're almost coming to a close here. I said 34. I never get to 34. Whatever, we'll do what we got to do. 6 more minutes, here we go. All right, so he says, why do we need Mitzrayim? Okay, there was this great Haggadah that came out last year called the Kolel Haggadah. The Kolel Haggadah. She says like this. Beautiful. If the Baal Haggadah begins a series of psukim, where it begins to, you know, it starts darshaning, interpreting psukim. It says, Seu Lamad. What does it mean? Why does it say ulamad? Why do we go through the sequence of darshaning psukim? He says, tse ulamad, right? Tse ulamad, this whole idea of learning the psukim is an idea of what the essence of the night is about. Go out and learn. Go out and darshan. Go, as I said at the Shabbat, go darshan. Go read and then go interpret. Go learn it. You can't just sit back at the Seder. You have to learn it. And that's the key. People are asking what they can do to make the Seder exciting. If you're there just talking, like I am here, just talking, you're going to knock everybody out the Seder. Say ulamah. You got to give everyone the tools to be able to be there and to be able to learn for themselves, to be able to learn, to be able to derive, point to a line in the Haggadah, say, what do you think this means to you? How are you supposed to understand it? Right? And that's the essence of a Haggadah. That's what it's supposed to mean. Say ulamad. Let them go out. Go learn. That's the reason why you need a Haggadah. That's why you need a Pesach. You need a Pesach to get to Har Sinai. You need the Yetzias Mitzrayim to get to Har Sinai. Go out and learn. That's the essence of it all, to be able to go and learn. Okay, next. I want to share with you from Rav Dov Cook, one of the great Mukubolim in Tveria. Rav Dov Cook. So he says like this. What does it mean? Ein maftirin achar a Pesach afikomen? What does it mean that you don't eat after the Pesach? Afikom, you don't eat anything afterwards, right? We have a malacha, we're not supposed to eat afterwards. She'ein ochlem mine mesika la'achra achilas afikomen, she'mekudeshes leila seder, zoche an lemadrege gaboa shal nefesh shiva mekedusha, ad she'mosim kol metikus olamazeh. It's like a balloon. You're flying after the seder, okay? You're flying high. And as you're going up, anything sweet or anything that is very physical that you're going to be tasting is going to take you away. It is going to bring that balloon back down. And that's what he says. What's happening is that you're flying. You're on such a high level. And therefore, because you're flying on such a high level, the minute that you take from sweets or you enjoy a soda or you enjoy something to treat after the Seder, you've taken your mind, which is already moving up like a balloon. And now you're pulling yourself back down. And he says, one should be careful what they have after that afikomen. Okay, I want to share with you the following idea. There's someone who's a great one of my favorite bloggers out there. His name is Rabbi Ali Erman. Rabbi Ali Erman, born in Manhattan, lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he shared with me this idea, okay? He says, if you don't think it's that good, quote it, but don't say it in my name. I'm saying his name because it's great. It's excellent. So he says like this. The Rambam in Hilchas Chomitz Matzah, Perek Zayin Alach Aleph, says that if your son is a katan or a tipesh, you have to tell him, Kulanu right, that we were all slaves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us and brought us out to free, right? You got to tell him. You got to make sure he knows if he doesn't know it. So what's the Lashon of Pode Osanu, redeemed us, and then took us out to freedom? They're the same thing. Just took us out to freedom. Has redeemed us. Why do I need both? Why does the Rambam have both? So he says like this. The Brisker Rav says that in benching we say, Al Shetzisanu Hashem Elokeinu Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, God took us out, Ufdisanu Mi'beis Avodim, and he redeemed us from a house of Avodim. It's two different things. He took us out from Egypt, and then we changed Be'etzim. There was a change in who we were. It's Hotzisanu Hashem Elokeinu, he took us out Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Ufdisanu Mi'beis Avodim, and he redeemed us from that status of being slaves. Very similar to Meister Sheni, Pigeon Meister Sheni, where you deem your Meister Sheni, so you bring it up to Yerushalayim, the coins, then you exchange it. There's a change in the Etzem. So for the rest of our history, our souls are free. Avdihem below Avodim Lavodim. They're slaves to me and not slaves to slaves, right? It's the inherent, he points out, this connects to Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a beautiful piece on the inherent freedom of the Jewish soul. And what happened that day, Rav Kook writes, by the way, Hacheres sha'anu misrashmu b'yoser b'leil hizkar shachag shalzman chereseinu. The cheres that we speak about, that imprints upon us chereseinu, is lo chadalim alaviyat ha'gaguim b'leil ba'amru hashtab l'shana b'chorim. When we talk about this year we were slaves, next year we're free, but the freedom that we're talking about is the freedom to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's new. You know, as we say, Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, said when he was in the Holocaust, he recognized at that moment, no one could take away the inner essential freedom of a person. And that, I think, is what he's referring to here, that there are two levels here. There is a physical servitude, we're yotze l'cherus, but however, there's a pidyon, there's a redemption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're able to access me. And the nafkamina over here, the difference is that the Iker Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, therefore, is the main fulfillment is the sharing it over into your child. That's the lesson over here. That's the pshat in the Rambam. You have to tell your children that we went free from servitude, but also that the pidyon, he redeemed us. We're never going to be the same. We're never going to be subject to the same dictates as ever again, no matter what happens to us. And that's the Iker Kiyam Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just beautiful. That's the pshat of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzechem Eretz Mitzrayim. Our belief in Hashem, why is our belief in Hashem connected to leaving Egypt? Why not creation of the world? It's connected to leaving Egypt because it's at that moment that Hashem freed us to become close to Him. And ultimately, Ein Charus Meluchos, don't read it as engraved on the Luchos, but rather Charus Meluchos, but rather freedom that comes to us from the Luchos. Okay, we shared a lot of ideas. I think altogether there were maybe 27, I think, if you count them up. I have to mochel me. I owe you a few more. But everyone should have a beautiful and healthy and a meaningful Seder. They'll be small. They'll be more intimate. But you should try to not just share all these ideas. Everyone share a few and let everyone else get a chance to share their ideas. Come back to me with your best thoughts. And Mirtz Hashem, we should be able to use it next year and for many years to come. Take care. Have a great evening.